Amen. If you would turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 14, we're going to look at the next question that Jesus asked. This question he asked of Peter. A little bit of a parallel to last week when the disciples were in the boat and the storm came and they thought they were going to die and Jesus was sleeping in the bottom of the boat. And Jesus, when he got woken, said, "Why did you doubt? Where's your faith?" And somewhat similar to this story is this story where, same thing, they're in a boat, and I call this the second boat story because this is the one where the disciples were in a boat by themselves, rowing across the sea, a little bit of a storm came up, Jesus was walking on the water. Peter decides it'd be a good idea to ask Jesus to let me come out, so he went out and walked on the water. Then he noticed that the waves were a little strong, and well, he began to sink, so he cried out to the Lord. The Lord reached down and saved him, and that question, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And so for me, when we as believers begin this journey of stepping out in more faith, and as we're trying our best to try to please God more and more, as we take those steps, there's going to be some times where I think we might be eager to begin that journey, but then things happen. And as things happen, we're going to have to make the choice. Are we going to continue to pursue, continue that step of faith, or will we find ourselves sinking? And so that's the decision that we're going to have to make. But I kind of appreciate this story because I find myself there with those guys, and there's a few reasons for that. But let me just read these verses, Matthew 14, begin with verse 22, and we'll go to the end of the story. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After dismissing the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already over a mile from the land, battered by the waves because the wind was against them. At about 3 a.m, he came toward them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. Immediately, Jesus spoke to them, "Have courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter answered him, "command me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. And climbing out of the boat, Peter started walking on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the strength of the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand, caught hold of him, and said, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those in the boat worshiped him and said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Let's pray. Father, we thank you that your love is amazing, and you lift us up out of the rough waters, out of the rough times that we experience in life. But God, before we can be pulled out of the rough, we got to get out of the boat. And I know that, man, especially in our world today, when we look around us, it is hard to just do things with excitement and do things that are supernatural and do things that just would just be a sense of awe when you accomplish these great things through us. We need faith for that. We need to just quit doubting, quit being so fearful. Just have faith. Take those steps. Just learn and agree and take action. So show us what that looks like today. Teach us why you ask this question. Why do we doubt? And I pray that you do that in Jesus' great name. Amen. So for me, when I picture myself, there on the shore, maybe one of those 12 disciples, busy day, Jesus doing what Jesus does, healing and doing miracles, just his normal routine of engaging with people. Just imagine being one of those 12, and all of a sudden Jesus says, "Hey, I got an idea. You guys get in a boat, head on over to the other side. I'm going to go up and pray." Now, me, I would probably be thinking, wait a minute. Last time we did that, I remember what happened. So there could have been a possibility that some of these guys, I could just see Thomas, you know. Thomas is like, that is not a good idea. I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to walk and I'll meet you over. You know, we don't know what was going on in their minds, but that could have happened. I know for me, I would be thinking, all right, I'm not going to blow it this time. The last time we blew it, this time I'm not. This time, I want to be prepared. And I kind of like that as we introduce this idea of what happens when we find ourselves taking those initial steps of faith, but then we find ourselves failing, or we might find ourselves being fearful. Just go back and remember what God has done that's amazing. And I always want to just let us know, what has God done that's amazing? And just hang on that. And let that be what we would consider maybe the impetus that helps to propel us forward as we learn how to take these great steps of faith. And not just take the step of faith, maintain the steps of faith. So that's what we're going to learn today. So if we go back, Jesus told the disciples to get in the boat. Jesus had dismissed the crowds. He told the disciples, get in the boat, go to the other side. I'm going to go up and pray. So he goes up and he's praying. About a mile away from the shore, the disciples find themselves really having a hard time chugging along. And the wind was blowing, it was against them, and they weren't able to row as they wanted to row. But then at about 3 in the morning, here comes Jesus walking on the water. Now that in and of itself probably would have been amazing to see. But add that on top of all the other amazing things that these disciples had seen Jesus do, this would just be added to the list. But what's interesting, and what I want us to just kind of consider for a few moments today, is Peter's response. See, I don't think Peter was ready to make the same mistake that he made the last time they were in a boat. This time, it's almost like Peter's like, okay, well, this time Peter does a Peter thing. Notice what happens here. When the disciples saw him in verse 26, walking on the sea, they were terrified. It's a ghost. They thought that this was a ghost. And so they cried out in fear. But Jesus, hearing their cry, immediately spoke to them, have courage, it is I, don't be afraid. So the initial response for these disciples is fear because they see this image walking on the water. But then they cry out, and the voice from this image says, hey, don't be afraid, it's me. But notice what Peter does. Lord, if it is you, it's as if Peter was testing this fact. It's as if Peter was saying, okay, if you can do it, I think I can do it. And I love that about Peter. If it's you, command me to come to you on the water. Now, I've always been curious, what if it wasn't Jesus? You know, what if it was some kind of demonic force or some kind of a ghost? I don't think Peter was worried about that. I think Peter recognized Jesus' voice. And I think Peter was willing to take this step of faith. He sees, if Jesus can do this, I can do this. And I want us to remember that. So Jesus says, come. And what's Peter do? He gets out of the boat. Climbing out of the boat, Peter started walking on the water. Now, I'm thinking it took a great step of faith for Peter to be able to do that. And so what I want us to glean from this are just three things. These are steps. These are ideals. These are characteristics, whatever we want to call them, of what it looks like to take these great steps of faith. Why do we need, as God's people, to take steps of faith? Number one, because if we don't take steps of faith, we will not have any supernatural expectations. What would we expect God to do in us and through us and for us if we don't take steps of faith? If God's people don't live by faith, what would we expect to happen? And the problem is, if we don't take steps of faith, what we did yesterday is the exact same thing that we're going to find ourselves doing tomorrow. There will be nothing different. It takes God's people to be faithful people and to be faithful people, in other words, full of faith, in order for us to do something supernatural. Our expectations will rise as our faith rises. But our problem many times is that we'll learn the truth, and the truth doesn't stick to the point that the truth gets out of our head. Usually what happens in our modern culture, in our world today, we can see the truth and we can understand the truth and we can learn the truth, but we don't apply the truth. So what good does truth do if we do not act upon the truth? So the truth is, Jesus was walking on the water. Now, Jesus didn't ask Peter to come and join him, but you notice that Jesus doesn't also say, Peter, that's a dumb idea, stay in the boat. No, Peter's willing to take this step of faith. Peter is willing to see something supernatural happen. His expectation is he can do it because Jesus does it. Tell me to come. And Jesus says, come. And Peter gets out of the boat. So when these things happen in our lives, what's our response? Just like the first boat story, how do we respond? Most of the time we respond out of fear. We can be fearful. The disciples were fearful. The first thing that they did when they saw Jesus walking on the water, the first thing they did was they became afraid. Just like the last boat story. Weren't they doing what Jesus told them to do? Weren't they going where Jesus told them to go? Weren't they in the will of God? Yes. So why would they be afraid? That's just what their mind did. That's just what that was their response. So if we're not stepping out in faith, we will respond in fear. We might also respond in doubt. We can have a fearful response. We can have a doubtful response. And many times we'll doubt. Oh, I don't think I could do that. No. That one's too big for me. I'm not going to do that. And we'll respond in doubt. And here's another one. Another crazy one is how people respond spitefully. And I find that one the most interesting. Somebody will be going through a struggle. They might be going through some challenge in life or even within themselves. You know, there might be a sinful tendency that they have. And so you just engage them with God's word. Well, you know what? God's word says this. And you know what? They actually get angry. They get angry because God's word told them something contradictory to what they wanted to hear. And we see that all the time. That happens to me. I'll get angry. I'll get mad at God. And God's like, hey, look, I just wrote that a few thousand years ago for you. Don't be mad at me, kind of a thing, right? I'm the one that ought to be upset with myself. But regardless, our response, if we're not letting the truth stick, if we're not stepping out in faith, then when circumstances in life happen, we're either going to be fearful, doubtful, or spiteful, but we'll never be faithful. We will never do the things that God has called us to do. Let me illustrate. Look in your Bible. Turn a few pages over into John chapter 14, and I want to illustrate this for you. And I want you to see what Jesus has to say about this idea, and then what we can do to apply it. Because see, in John 14, beginning with verse 12, now these are the words from Christ. These are words from Jesus. This is what he says. I assure you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. And he will do even greater works than these because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Now that's the Word of God. That is Scripture. That is inerrant. That is truth. That comes right from Jesus' mouth. Do you believe it? Now wait, do you believe it? See, there's our problem. We believe it. Well, no, we don't. We really don't believe it. Well, yeah, we do. No, we don't. Well, yes, we do. We believe it. It came from Jesus. No, we don't. Right? That's our quandary. We'll say that we believe it, but do we believe it? How do we take that belief and turn it into practice? How do we take this words, those words from Christ? And this is what Jesus is saying. You saw the things I do, you can do even better because I'm going to the Father. What's he mean by that? What he means is every one of us individually as a born-again believer have the Spirit living within us. And because the Spirit lives within us, we can do those things. Do you believe it? Let that sink in for a second. Yeah, we believe it because they're words of Jesus. We don't act like we believe it. We don't do the action. You know, we have the knowledge, but do we have the agreement? And if we have the agreement with the words of Christ, then the action steps will coincide with the agreement. So I think that's what Jesus is teaching us. If we have this great faith, we can do these things. So why do we not do those things? It either boils down to an idea, I don't believe it, and that would be an honest one. We don't understand it. That's why we need more knowledge. Or we believe it and we understand it. I just don't want to do it. Too hard. Takes too much. You know what? I might have to get out of a boat. So there's our struggle. So if we want something supernatural to happen, we got to step out in faith. Second thing, without faith, we won't do anything exceptional. Not only will we not do anything supernatural, we won't do anything exceptional. There won't be any great change. There's no lives that are going to be changed because of what we do. The little things that we do day by day, you know, the things that we did yesterday, which is probably going to be the things that we do tomorrow because we're not stepping out in faith. What's our expectation? There's no exceptional that's going to happen. You know that in Hebrews 11, verse 6, God's word says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know what we do more than anything as believers? We do our best to please God. We try to do everything we possibly can to please Him. I try to pray a little bit, and I say thank you before I eat my Big Mac at McDonald's or whatever, you know, whatever we're eating. We'll say our thank yous, and we'll do our little prayers, and we'll read our Bibles, and we'll do those kinds of things, and we'll attend worship services, and we just do everything we can to please God. But yet, Hebrews 11, 6 says, without faith, you can't do it. You will not please God if you are not taking steps of faith. And if you are not willing to get out of the boat, you're not taking a step of faith. So if we're going to do something exceptional, you know, Peter did great. Here's what we like to do. We like to pick on Peter. We like to say, well, there's Peter. Peter did a Peter thing. Oh, he's always doing it. Opened his mouth, putting his foot in it. Look at him. Here he did it again. Got out of the boat. Now he started to sink. Yep, failure. Is Peter a failure? Let me ask you this question. How many times have you got out of a boat and walked on water? It don't matter if he took 2 steps or 22 steps. He's taken more than I've ever taken on the water. He did something exceptional. But then, in the midst of that walk, and this is what we need to caution ourselves with, as we begin to do those things of God, as we begin to do the exceptional for God, we're going to have choices that we're going to have to make because the waves are going to be lapping at our feet. There's an enemy that doesn't want us to do it. There are people in our sphere of influence that don't want us to do it. And you know, the hardest thing in the life of a church is when a church says, I think this is what God would have us to do, and people in the church would contradict that and say, no, we've never done that before. We can't do that. We can't afford it. Or all the myriads of excuses that we can have. I would just say, just go back to John 14, 12. Jesus says we can do it. So that means we can do it. But I want it to be exceptional. I want it to be things that we just normally wouldn't do. And that's what faith does for us. Peter did great for a while, but then he had to make a choice. What was his choice? Well, in verse 29, Jesus says, come, and he came. Climbing out of the boat, Peter started walking on the water, and he came toward Jesus. What was going through Peter's mind? How do you think Peter felt? How do you think the rest of those disciples felt? You know, they're watching this. They're just watching this. In just a few seconds of time, we're watching these things unfold. And now here's Peter. Man, he gets out of the boat, and he probably... Man, that's water, and he takes that first step, and he takes that second step, and he's walking on the water. But now he has to choose. What's he have to choose? Well, look what happened. Verse 30, he saw the strength of the wind. A lot of people would say, well, he took his eyes off Jesus. It doesn't say that. It just says that he saw the strength of the wind. I think Jesus, the choice that Peter had to make, I think the choice that he made was, here's Jesus, I'm walking towards him, but I also see the wind. He's got to make a choice between the two, and that's what's hard. See, we can take the steps of faith, but we have to sustain, maintain the steps of faith. He saw the strength of the wind. Then what happened? He became afraid. Man, there's that fear again, right? He saw the strength of the wind and became afraid. Oh my gosh, Peter, you were doing so well. You were doing what no human had ever done before. Why? Because he got afraid. He did great for a while, then he had to make a choice. And when the fear settles in, see, here's the thing. Walking on the water made Peter pretty special. Walking on the water made Peter real special, but the wind made him fearful. And when we choose to do the things of God, doing the things of God are going to make us pretty special. They're going to make us really special in God's eyes. Because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And if we want to please Him, that's pretty special in my book. We're going to have to take steps of faith to do that. There's going to have to be this knowledge, this knowing what God wants us to do. And then we have to be in agreement with it. If God says I can, I can. Now I got to. Now I do it. Now I take the action steps. Hey, it might not be literally getting out of a boat, but I think we can all connect the figurative language here. What's your boat that you need to find yourself getting out of? The walking makes you special, but those constant waves, the wind, it makes us fearful. Which is best? I think the faith is best. So we'll have supernatural expectations and we'll do things that are exceptional, but if we don't have faith, that there will be nothing in our lives that we can say would be spiritually exciting. We will not have the spiritual excitement. We will not have that kind of connection. Look, however you want to look at this story, here's what happened. The truth of Scripture is Peter did a Peter thing. He tried. He couldn't maintain. He became fearful. He started to sink. He cried out to Jesus. Jesus reached down and pulled him out of the waves and saved him. But what did Jesus say? Oh, man. It was like Jesus says, "Oh, dude, what happened? Man, you were doing so well. Why did you doubt?" Can you imagine if Jesus would have, "Come on, man. Come on, Peter, you can do it. You can do it. Come on. Keep coming. You're doing great." He failed because he saw the strength of the wind. And when you see the world pummel you, and when their own doubt within you starts to pummel you, and the things of the world start getting at you, it becomes fearful. Mark has a parallel story in Mark's gospel. Mark tells this story. Mark leaves a couple things out, like Peter walking on the water. For some reason, Mark doesn't tell us that Peter walked on the water. We don't know why, but he just doesn't. But here's what Mark says. At the end, notice what the disciples do. When they got in the boat, the wind ceased. Those in the boat worshipped him and said, "Truly you are the Son of God." But you know what else they were doing? They were doubting. Mark tells us that they were hardened. Their hearts were hardened. Why? Because they were still thinking about how Jesus made all those people, I mean, how he fed all those people previously with just a few pieces of bread. They were still fixated on the loaves. What? Yeah, their hearts were hardened because of the loaves. Their hearts were hardened because they couldn't figure out how the bread of life made bread to give people life. Isn't that crazy? Well, that's how we are. The expectations, if the expectations aren't high, and if we don't do anything exceptional, and if we're not excited about the next thing that Jesus is going to do for us, we'll be just like them. Hardened hearts, unbelief, not taking steps of faith. But I love the end of this story. Look at the end of the story. Because there's always hope for us, isn't there? Look at verse 34. We don't even know these guys. Most of the time we look at Matthew 14 and we kind of get stuck on Peter because he walked on water. But notice, once they crossed over, they came to the land at Gennesaret. Now, what did the men of the town do? Look what they did. Number one, when the men of that place recognized him. See, they recognized Jesus. They saw him. They recognized him. And then you contrast that with his close disciples when he was walking on the water. The close disciples, when they were walking on the water, didn't recognize him. But those men did. They recognized him. Number two, they told others about him. When the men of that place recognized him, they alerted who? The whole vicinity. The whole vicinity. And they brought those to him who were sick. So they took people to him. So they recognized Jesus, and they told people about Jesus, and they took people to Jesus, and they reached out and touched Jesus. They were begging him that they might only touch the tassel on his robe, and as many as who touched it were made perfectly well. Now, if I had time, we could spend some time, looking at that story and juxtaposed against what Peter did. We can compare the two. Who had the most faith? Was it Peter that had the most faith because he walked on water? Or what about these men? What about these guys in this land that were desperate and were in desperate need of a Savior? And when they saw Jesus get out of the boat, they knew who he was. They didn't have to ask a question. They knew who that guy was, and they knew what they needed. And so they told people, and they took people, and they touched them. Look at the great steps of faith. Oh, we'll give Peter a lot of props, right? Because he walked on water. I want to know who those guys are. How many people were touched? How many lives were changed? But here's what I want us to conclude with. I believe in verses 34 through 36, this is what we see. We see some guys that had some supernatural expectations, and they had some pretty good, exceptional ideas in their mind. Let's just touch his robe. And they left there with some pretty good spiritual excitement. Why? Because they had faith. Because they had faith. You don't have to be a Peter or an Andrew or a John to have faith. You don't have to be one of those 12 guys that spent 3 years with them to have that kind of faith. All you just need is just an understanding of who he is. And you believe those words in John 14, 12 through 14. And yes, you truly do believe that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. But not if you don't use your faith. Let's not fear. Let's use faith. Why? Why would Jesus ask me that question? Why would Jesus say, Rich, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? No more. No more. Let's live by faith. Father, thank you that you give us these great examples in your word of men who, well, in our mind, they succeed and fail. They seem to be doing so well, and then they just kind of blow it. And God, that's just like us. And that we do so well for a while, then things happen. And then we blow it. But God, I don't want to do that anymore. I want us to understand that we could be a church that supernaturally has these expectations that you're going to do wonderful things. And God, I believe any time a person comes to faith in Christ, that's a supernatural thing. Lord, if someone within the sound of my voice is not saved, I pray that your Spirit would do the work that your Spirit does, and that a person would just say that I need Jesus. Just like those men at Gennesaret, they would just reach out. They know who you are. They've heard the stories. They acknowledge that Scripture is truth. And that the Spirit working in their lives would compel them to turn to faith in Christ. Repent of sin and step out in faith towards you. God, would that happen today? And whoever it is, it could be electronically, in person, it does not matter. We are here. We want to speak with them. We want to talk with them. We want to encourage them and challenge them. God, those who are hearing and are believers, what's our boat? What's the water that we need to walk on? What's the fear that's keeping us from moving forward and taking that next great step? It can only be fear, or it could be doubt, or it could be spite. But God, faithfulness will never keep us in the boat. So Lord, teach us that faith that we need. And especially through this week, as life groups and Bible study groups begin to unpack these verses and chat about it with one another, I just pray that your Spirit continues to work. Thank you for the great testimonies. Continue to do that as we just work this out day by day in the life of your church. But God, my expectation is that you do something supernatural. Would you begin today? And all who call upon your name will be saved. And I pray that today someone may call upon your name for that great gift of salvation. We thank you and ask that you bless us and use us for your glory in Jesus' great name. Amen.